Our scripture lessons today, for those who will be listening later, come from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14, Romans chapter 7, verses 13 through 25, and John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. What would you think if your boss came up to you or your hardest teacher and said, "I think you've been working too hard. Turn off your computer, put away your pencils, grab some friends, and spend the rest of the day at the Greenbelt"? Would you think they've gone bonkers? Or what if Walmart were to announce that they've made enough money, so they're now going to close every Sunday so their employees can spend more time with their families? I know there are a few, very few, businesses that already do this, but wouldn't it be amazing for a consumer-driven company like Walmart to make that change? That's just as unthinkable as the U.S. government passing a law that states that because rest is an inherent need for human flourishing, that all companies must give their employees 4 weeks paid vacation. Can you imagine that? If you live in Europe, you don't have to. But for us, such a thing is almost unthinkable. Today's passage in Exodus chapter 20 is one of the two places in the Old Testament where we find the Ten Commandments listed. We know them well. We repeat them almost every Sunday here at Epworth. It makes sense then to spend some time diving in and taking a deeper look. Not all commandments are equal. Today, we are going to focus on just one. I take verse 2 to be Yahweh's claim to authority over the Israelites. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." He's not just one of the many gods of Egypt. He is the God who rescued the Israelites. Because of that, he can now set the moral standard for the people he rescued, which is the Ten Commandments. He then launches into the commandments, first regarding how they should honor Yahweh, and then how they should treat each other. We should be glad that God wasn't a lawyer, or instead of 10 commandments, we might have 955. Straddling these two groups of commandments is the fourth commandment: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You may have noticed that verses 8 through 11 are all about the Sabbath. In the original Hebrew, the fourth commandment takes up 55 out of 179 total words in the Ten Commandments. That's 30% on this one commandment. It is the largest piece of the Ten Commandments by far. That should give us a clue that something is going on here. Something is special about this one. I'll spend the rest of my time looking at how the commandment to keep the Sabbath holy impacts time, work, and mankind's purpose. But first, I need to come clean. I'm not very good at keeping the Sabbath holy. I'm typically pretty good at avoiding making graven images, taking the Lord's name in vain, not stealing, or bearing false witness against my neighbors. But keeping the Sabbath day is hard. For one thing, what does it even mean to keep the Sabbath? And how do we carve out time for rest when so many worthwhile things are clamoring for our attention? How are you supposed to rest when you have young kids? Do moms get a free pass on this one? Keeping the Sabbath doesn't seem very American, but it used to. Things were different 100 years ago when most businesses shut down on Sundays and taking work home with you was almost unheard of. Though I imagine back then, anyone raising animals could fairly ask, "How do we take a day off?" So let's start from a place of honesty about our Sabbath practice, or lack thereof, and also of hope that while we may not get it perfect, we can improve. going back to time, work, and mankind's purpose, the commandment to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy, applies a moral code to how we view time. Suddenly, time itself is sacred. It has a meaning beyond itself. We understand this well because we follow the church calendar. While it was the early church that created the seasons of Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, and Kingdomtide, they were taking a cue from God, who made one day a week holy. This commandment inherently points back to the beginning of time when God created everything. Verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Keeping the Sabbath is acknowledging God's great work in creation. This commandment offers us an opportunity for recreation. Recreation, yes, but I'm talking about recreation. Just as we bring Christ's death on the cross into the present when we receive communion, we are making creation new when we keep the Sabbath. Recreation changes everything. God gave order to space by creating the earth. He gave order to all living things by putting Adam and Eve in charge. Now, he gives order to time. Keeping the Sabbath brings time and creation together. God knew humans needed a day of rest out of every seven. Literally, our bodies start to shut down if we don't. We get sick, agitated, depressed, etc., if we don't take a day of rest. A day of rest is such a physical need that if we choose to ignore this need, eventually our bodies will require it from us, whether we want it or not. You will be excused for thinking that the fourth commandment is making just one day a week sacred. In a way, that's true, but the one day a week defines all the others. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but in the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your manservant or your maidservant or your cattle or the sojourner who is within your gates. The Sabbath is one day set aside for rest. It means the others are for work. All days, all time, is given purpose here, thanks to the Sabbath. Part of the Sabbath as recreating time is that it also recognizes limits on the speed with which humans can function. Like a speed limit sign along the highway, Sabbath places wise limits on our pace of life. Of course, we buck against all limits. As small children, we resist bedtime. As adults, we live by mottos such as work hard, play hard. The ultimate example of resisting limitations has to be attempts to overcome the natural limitations of our own bodies. This is epitomized by the extreme transgender ideology of people like Susan Stryker, who in a 2008 speech called the dual gender limitations on nature hegemonic oppression. It is truly shocking to call our biology oppressive. But we can hardly blame them when the rest of society ignores our God-given limits every day. It is our limits that reminds us we need God. Our limits include the brain and how much information we can take in and process. That's why so many of us are living in information overload from too many news shows, podcasts, online articles, and social media posts to where we can't prioritize the information we receive or evaluate it accurately. Sabbath reminds us that our speed is limited. Digital information can travel around the globe almost instantaneously, but we can't take it in nearly that fast. In fact, our ability to assimilate new information is hardly different now than it was for Abraham. The human brain can only adjust to our new environment to a limited degree. We are humans, not robots. The modern Western attitude may be either ignorant or hopelessly optimistic about our ability to keep up with every new alert on our smartphones, but eventually we will realize that we do have a limit to the speed with which we can live and thrive, and we've already surpassed it. The reason we will realize it is because Sabbath aligns with how we were created. We ignore the limits to our speed at our own peril. In addition to time, Sabbath recreates work. God created us to work. Work isn't a result of the fall. Work has been part of the human existence since day one. We find God's first words to mankind in Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Multiplying may not sound like work, but subduing the earth does. What this means is that work existed in a perfect, sinless world. With two hands, two feet, and an upright posture, we were perfectly constructed to do work. Now, of course, sin has corrupted work along with everything else. Our fallenness has made work far worse than it needs to be, but work isn't inherently bad. If we worship well on the Sabbath, then we can work well on the other days, and in fact, that work is elevated. Our work on the other 6 days isn't purely secular, while our worship is holy. Living into Sabbath makes it all holy. Like Eric Little, the Olympic runner, said in the movie Chariots of Fire, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." But that was only when he rested on the Sabbath. Notice that God gives 6 days for work and one for rest. That's a lot of time for constructive work. That's a lot of time for doing things. Clearly, God expects us to work a lot. But work doesn't get 7 days. There is a day that work should not encroach upon. That day, the Sabbath, is holy. God is saying, "This far shall you work and no farther." It's sort of like the 10% tithe. We get to spend 90% on whatever we want, but the remaining 10% is God's. There's a limit to our work, just as there is a limit to our spending. Work is not ultimate. Work does not define us. Actually, limitations on work and money are essentially one and the same. By saying we won't work 1 day a week, we are saying we won't earn money 1 day a week. I will accept the limits to my income that come from limited work. In this sense, Sabbath rest is countercultural, even revolutionary. You want to fight the power or stand up to the man? Enjoy a Sabbath rest. Some jobs will take as much as you will give them. Don't let them. Take a stand. Sabbath. When we think of Sabbath rest, it makes it easier to accept the words of Jesus that his yoke is easy. Rest, enjoyment, and fellowship are all built into the godly life. Isaiah 58:13 says, "We should call the Sabbath a delight." Why is this so hard for us? You would think this one commandment would get universal support from Christians and non-Christians alike. It turns out that we are so fallen that we can't even rest well. As a whole, we stink at delight. Even our fellowship can feel like a burden. This leads to the final area of recreation through Sabbath, mankind's purpose. Remember, Sabbath isn't just a day of rest, it's a day of worship. We have a day set apart to worship God, rest, enjoy His creation, and in short, be human. We are most ourselves when we are worshiping. In a world that wants humans to function more and more like machines, we need time to regain our humanity. Our economic system places a dollar value on everything and needs to be put in check when it comes to people. Our value cannot be monetized. We need time set apart for worship. Worship reminds us of who God is and who we truly are in relation to Him. I like to look at this life as a dress rehearsal for eternity. What makes you think you will enjoy worshiping God forever if you don't practice doing so now? When done right, worshiping God is joyous. It lifts our eyes above the grime of this life. It gives us a glimpse into eternal realities. Without worship, it's hard to keep going. If we fail to worship, the world wins. One of the ways we can worship well is to enjoy God's creation. After all, Sabbath rest is in recognition of God enjoying all that He had created. So we should do the same. Go out and enjoy the sunshine. Get some fresh air. Marvel at the beauty of the mountains. Stop and watch a sunset or a meteor shower. Or like a child, get up close and personal to a caterpillar or grasshopper. To subdue the earth well, we must love it first. Sabbath is best enjoyed in community. We were created for work and for rest and for worship, but also for relationship. When possible, Sabbath should be enjoyed with loved ones. Play games, enjoy a good meal, talk, disconnect from devices, and be present in the moment. We talk a lot about communal worship. We should also promote communal Sabbath. There's a reason the Sabbath command falls in between the commandments about how to honor God and how to live in community with others. Sabbath bridges the gap between both. If we Sabbath well with others, we are more likely to worship God better. Hopefully, Sabbath sounds like something you want to do. It should sound like a commandment you are ready to jump into. It should sound fun. It's a sign of our fallenness that this is even a question. As Paul wrote in today's epistle reading, "I can will what is right, but I cannot do it." We make idols out of hurrying, producing, and working compulsively. I know. I've done this. Before I was in ministry, I used to look down upon people who only worked 40 hours a week while I worked 60. It's twisted, I know, but that is what sin does. This actually may be a challenge for us who worship liturgically. We take worship so seriously. We are highly reverent. That's good. But it also may send the message that anything fun and frivolous isn't worthy of God. We might have the tendency to look down upon sheer enjoyment. We shouldn't. Fun isn't a result of the fall. Fun is something God hardwired into human nature. In the season of Lent, we make extra effort to recognize how we have fallen short and to lament our sins as we try to become more like Christ. This is a solemn season. The irony is, for some of us, probably most of us, our sins include failing to rest, enjoy, and worship well. If you have made an idol out of work, you are in good company. Sabbath isn't about doing, it's about being. Being human, being loved, being God's children. In this way, Sabbath reminds us that the Christian walk isn't about trying harder. It's about being transformed into God's image as we spend time with Him, abiding with Him. Sabbath is our taste of eternity right now. Our world is crying out for Sabbath. Let's show them the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.